Okay, so Emra, thank you so much for volunteering. It's truly an honor to be able to coach you today. So are you ready?
Thank you, I'm ready.
Okay. So Emra, what would you like to take away from our session today?
I would like to have more peace and inner stability versus the place that I'm at now, which is a new sort of unsettled space for me.
So if you had more peace, what one or two things would be different?
I think that's what I'm trying to sort through. What are the pieces that I'm actually missing? I've been through a really big transition this past year. We've moved from a city where I lived for 15 years, had great work that I did, started my own business, invested everything I had in that, very excited, very energized. Just everything was moving along like a big blast. I got great clients in what I was doing. And then out of the blue, my husband decided he had enough of that, and we moved from the Florida Keys to Savannah, a city that I did not know. And as my nature is, at first that was wonderful. I adapt to everything as I need to, and I plunged right into life here, and I did so much networking, and started writing a book, which has been a phenomenal journey and experience in meeting incredible women in the city. So I'd say the first, I don't know how many months, were very still, very quiet, but it expanded a lot of inner thinking, my work, the book, etc. So everything always had a great outcome for me. That's my nature. I've been here a year now, and as the year has progressed, it has become a much more complex experience than what it was at first. I couldn't progress my business as it was because it's a new city and very different, and I hadn't sort of leaned deeply into my coaching. Decided to do that later, and so I've got to build up my base from scratch with everything again. And strangely, in this process of being alone at home, day in and day out, not with many people familiar and not having a work team around me, suddenly it's as if I've just gotten myself enveloped in loneliness. And that's foreign for me. And I've come to realize that I don't like having my own business. I love working in a team. So I've gotten a lot of new realizations, and yet it's left me in this very unpeaceful state of not wanting to do 9-to-5 work, but missing a team. Should I do part-time work? I've gone into a whole new direction with my coaching and my market, and so it's just a place of, oh my gosh, I haven't been here before.
Yeah, as you were talking, that was my sense, that this is new.
Yes.
So I wonder, have you had a time in your life when everything was new, and you tapped into resources that were of some value to you?
Let me ponder that out loud with you, because I've had many, many new experiences that I've always embraced fully. Many of them just raced along and got busy. So busyness enveloped me, which always included people. So I never maybe really leant into real loss and grief or really skills for that, because life just pulled me along every moment, always. I got to answer that question, yes, as I'm thinking now. When I got divorced after 25 years was the first time I went to see a psychologist, and I actually got counseling for 9 months. And that was incredibly impactful in my life and really brought about a really big shift. And And then when I did my coaching certification, and then I did engage my mentor coach, which really cleared up my history from the past and my divorce. And when I thought I'd got worked through everything, that really delved deeper. So that was very meaningful for me. And then, of course, this year, a few months ago, I lost my father in South Africa. It was the first time I went back in a really long time, and I dealt with a lot of loss and grief, not just for my father, who was my dearest parent, but for my homeland and my friends, and just, but it was also a very rich, positive experience, claiming who I am, why I am. So it was very amazing, but then coming back to this deep time of grieving and loss for all of that, and in this quiet space. So yes, I hear what you're asking me. When I have been in this place before, the two deepest places, yes, I did get help.
Mm-hmm. So when you say that, and I'm sorry about your father, about your loss.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you said something very important, who I am, why I am. Who I am, why I am. And as you think about that, what are one or two aspects of the who you are that you're the most excited about?
That I'm a joyful, happy person and positive, and that I love to make a difference with regarding people in my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the why in your life. What do you know about the why I am?
Those two things that I discovered I am, part of it is my cultural heritage, my people, and I know you know South Africans somewhat. We're happy people. Mm-hmm. And I could embrace that fully again, and that is like innately there. The other part of making a difference with people around me, I guess that has also impactful because of my nation and the many complexities there, and my mother and my father and how I was actually raised. So my whole experience of how I was raised in South Africa, intentionally and unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that the loneliness and the newness of unfamiliarity is a big departure from how happy you know yourself to be innately. And so I'm wondering if it would be valuable to explore some skills that might help you when you find yourself in a transition place, in a place that's really not happy, that doesn't match for you innately and organically. Because sometimes I think that in life we can expect to be in a place that is a place of a transition.
Yes, sure.
So when you think about unfamiliarity, what are some thoughts you might have about creating familiarity from the unfamiliar?
You know, I thought that I was doing that this whole year by networking and interacting with the woman that I have been interviewing for my book and placing myself amidst people and I guess there's one part that I'm not sure why I'm not willing to. I'm happy to have those surface experiences, but when I thought this week about I haven't developed deep, call up a girlfriend, go have tea, which is what I've done my whole life, and it's been so much fun, or they'll call and we'll go and do it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to build deep relationships. I don't want to make new relationships. And that's odd for me. That, again, that's an odd place. So I don't know if I'm just in a place of grief and loss still, and that I'm finding myself slipping into a little more depression, which I've never felt that I've been in before, you know, knowingly or unknowingly. But I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to do this. It's almost like I don't want to.
So something like a judgment about not wanting to, and I'm wondering how it might be different if you decided or if you chose to really let yourself be where you are, not wanting to in this moment.
Just make sure that I heard you right. Let myself just be and not try and be different right now. Let it just be.
How does that strike you?
I guess some part of me rings that that's right. And that, again, that's probably a really big step for me because I'm a runner. Literally and figuratively, everything in life. Go, go, go. So to actually, that's I think maybe part of my struggle has been here, the stillness from which much greatness has come. And I've been very proud of myself to go, wow, you're doing really well with this and you're learning to be still. That sounds like, if I can use the word, yes, that sounds tasty.
Yeah, you know, so from what I'm hearing, there's a big difference between the theoretical and the conceptual, that you're still and you're embracing it and all of that from a conceptual place, from a thinking place, but from actually being in the place where I don't wanna. I'm hearing a discomfort and almost an insistence that you get out of that place from inside. Am I hearing that accurately?
Yes. Why do you think that the fact that I don't want to explore and grow deeper relationships is because it's something that I should just let be, that it's a healthier place to just let it be?
I'm wondering if you're
not afraid of not trying to run from this place that I'm in.
I'm wondering if another question might be, what might the value be in being where you are? You have the awareness, and I wonder what the value might be in being where you know you are.
Again, intellectually, my answer would be that in that place of stillness and not combating it, you know, are some of your greatest places of learning and receiving of value in life. So I hear what you're saying. Instead of viewing this as a not such a happy place to be, that it's actually a more of a gift if I can just embrace it. Because I've definitely found in this year that what has come out of my stillness has been incredibly rich and enriched, and just there's so much, you know, positive. It's just even in my writing, whereas when I'm always running from one busyness to another, it's like you touch on things but you can't delve deeply into them. So it's like a gift that I have been given so that I really can do all that actually is within me that I want to do. So I've got three books that I need to write. But again, instead of using all my time constructively for the things that are on my list, I guess I'm just looking for that one-on-one, that eye contact, that fun, the relationship. One of my core values is fun. So it's not that much fun just being here by myself. So I've got to reframe how I view quiet time. You know, I've got to get my head to realize it's a treasure. Because when it's gone, then you long for it. And I hate that, irritates me terribly.
Mm-hmm. So what if it's not a treasure, nor a burden? I'm wondering if there's a possibility that it can be experienced, and again, not viewed intellectually, but experienced. If you drop down into being where you are, not wanting necessarily to explore or to risk connecting, what's on the other side of that for you?
Yes, the question comes, how do I really do that? It's not a skill that I have thoroughly in life. It's easier for me to get to that place with somebody else than within myself. How do I drop down into that fully?
It's an interesting conundrum, isn't it, when we, you know, words are so interesting. How do I be is your question. And I'm wondering if there's no doing associating with being, then how do you access being? So if for a moment we pretend there is no behavior, there's no doing related to being, then what is related to being? How would you know that you were being?
I guess for me, is to lean into that deep, quiet, reflectful, and for me it would be prayerful time of acknowledging all that, you know, all that my life is, what I think I'm missing, but just really just seeing it, you know, taking as long as still a time as necessary, stating how I feel about it, just, you know, like we're doing now, but in a, you know, deep, reflective, quiet time, and then asking, you know, to be filled and to gain whatever understanding, whatever gifts these moments have for me, and not to go busy do stuff, but just to be still. You know, the gorgeous garden, sit in it. I exercise. And again, yes, that's not, the exercise is not part of it. It's my creative place where I come up with new ideas. I don't need new ideas right now. I hear what you're saying. I need to just be in this place and allow myself to feel any losses that I have. Have tears for them if I need to.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's okay. You made tears come.
Samara, can you breathe into those tears and not make meaning out of them necessarily? Just breathe into them.
And it's probably just exactly what I need to do is to just, I understand. Thank you, I get it.
Now, in the absence of the being, of the doing, when we really challenge doing, then part of us really does know how to be. I think that's what
we don't allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the doing can really be a distraction from the being.
And I think that's what I've clearly done the whole year that I've been here. Get busy to deal with it all. Thank you. I think you've just, you're doing my skill. Of what I need to do to not just bustle over this time or pack it away or let it envelop me into a useless sadness, but to just let it be, and I can already sense that I'll move through it and be stronger, and exactly what I said in the beginning. Have that solid peace inside. Because it's incredible without what we've just, you know, my little taste that, you know, little practice that I've just had of what I can do every day now, or however long it's going to take, I can already sense that it removes a lot of other busy confusions and just a whole lot of other dimensions. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And let's hold the possibility for what is beyond, not to distract from what is.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy for me to see a possibility that's beyond. Busy people can do that. So I'm, yes. But actually, just being enables me to see that possibility clearer and not to feel that it's eluding me. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. And I'm curious about useless sadness. And I'm wondering if there can be useful sadness.
Yes, I think what, you know, we've just touched on now expresses that to me. Useful sadness, because it will clean up. It will facilitate the possibilities better. And I like that. I love that reframe. Because I was thinking these past few days, how do I reframe? Because I understand, of course, the whole, how the brain has to, you know, what you focus on expands. We all know all of that stuff. But how do I get myself into that positive frame of mind again? I seem to, you know, intellectually we have all the skills, but I like what you just said. That's exactly perfect. Useful sadness. I like that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And your true nature, you told me, is happy and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feeling that you're feeling, the experiences, the internally related experiences that you're having, are part of your exquisite humanity. And they don't take away from your organic joyfulness. All of you, there's room for all of you to be present for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah, I think that's a really noteworthy, I guess, statement for me, because it really alerts me to that concept that I may hold, whether it's, you know, probably more unconscious than conscious, that lets me reject that part of me because I'm innately happy. So thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I hear a groundedness in this moment, and a couple of really deep breaths, and more aliveness in your voice. Am I hearing you accurately?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
My pleasure. And well, this seems like a really good place to end.
Yes, thank you. That was just a really gift, an unexpected gift for me, the seat to the classes. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Would it be okay with you? I am aware that there are other people on the line. And would it be okay with you if now I open up the line and ask for questions and feedback from the rest of the people here?
Please do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. And let me ask you, if they have questions for you, would that be okay for you to take one or two questions? Okay. I don't know if they will, but they might. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's open up the lines. And I know we have a number of people on the line, so if you have a question or a comment, questions, thoughts, any feedback, if you could, there is a number to raise your hand, but I guess we'll use two. If you could press two on your keypad, and then we'll be able to call on you one at a time. So I'm happy to take your question. We can walk through the scenario of the session or take your questions. We can do this debrief in any number of ways. So let's start with questions. Thoughts, questions, feedback about this session, please. Lisa, are you there handling hands raising? Well, let's see. I don't want to, I could, Lisa, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. Do you have any thoughts, hello, questions, or feedback? Hello.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to thank both of you, and especially Emra, for the courage to come forward and bring her issue, her sadness and such, to the forefront for the rest of us to gain such a wonderful insight. And it was just, Emra, I just really felt the ease by the end of the conversation that you had in your voice and the answers that you needed, and just the masterful job of guiding her there. It was just very rich and very helpful to see, helpful to tuck away, because we can all, you know, use bits and pieces of this in our own lives, not only with our clients. And I just wanted to thank you both so very much, and especially you, Emma.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that feedback, Valerie. And who would like to go next? Thoughts, questions, feedback?
Hi, Dr. Jackie. This is Iris.
Hi, Iris. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate both of you today. Something that I found really interesting was towards the beginning of the coaching session, Dr. Jackie, you asked her to pull a situation from the past that was similar to what's going on currently, and use that to kind of get a grounding, and I thought that was very insightful, very helpful, something I could use.
Thank you, Iris. And there wasn't anything in her story at that point that I could help her build on. And remember the two parts of appreciative inquiry, which is how coaching questions are based on appreciative inquiry. So those two elements, just for a little bit of review, that we either hear something in the coachable moment that is working, that we can build on, or in this case, there is something that when clients talk about where they are and where they want to be, and then we coach to the gap. And so when there's nothing, right, when there's nothing that's there for us to build on, then we start by seeing if there's something in the past that might be helpful to bring forward. Sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't. So very good listening. And did you have any other feedback, Iris?
Quite frankly, I heard a lot of things that I heard in class, so it was just good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I've caught myself saying I'm wondering a lot in my personal life. And I think that came from hearing you say that a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Iris. And who'd like to go next? Thoughts, questions, feedback.
Hello, this is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you.
My question is, since I'm not skilled or trained in this exact area, how did you know as the coach that she doesn't need counseling for her depression, if it was more severe of a depression or if it's just a period of time? How do you know to discern that?
Well, it's a good question. Often people, particularly people in North America, when they start getting sad, people start to assume or think or worry, become concerned that they're depressed. And the fact of the matter is that we are human beings and that our feelings are the purview of human beings, mad, sad, glad, afraid, and guilty. And as I offered Emma, I remember the place where I spoke to her about her feelings being part of her humanity.
Right.
We are not human, we're not machines, we're not human doings, we're human beings. And so I don't worry when I have engaged someone in the coaching relationship. I've already determined from my pre-qualifying and enrolling conversations with them that they are appropriate for coaching. And so to be deeply feeling or deeply sad or to be grieving real life losses, I would be much more worried about Emma if she were not having these normal, natural feelings related to the losses, the normal losses she's experiencing in her life. And so when people have insight, they can connect the dots, you hear movement and aha moments that they have. She had several light bulb moments. You know very clearly that the person is appropriate for coaching and doesn't need to be shuffled off to therapy. When people can't follow through or they blame other people or circumstances, they are not taking responsibility for their own lives, for creating, for designing the life that they want to have, then you may have someone who's not appropriate for coaching. I don't know whether they're appropriate for therapy or not, but my job is to know that they're not appropriate for coaching. but don't let the content in the conversation, the feeling content in a conversation, worry you about somebody being more appropriate for therapy than for coaching. It really is how they can be present for and with themselves and manage their experience. And when I asked her to step into feeling, being where she is, and she was willing to do that, then I felt, let's see, how do I want to say this? I understood, I recognized, let me say it that way, I recognized that this was a session that would result in some real personal growth for her.
Very good.
Can I answer your question, Jerry? Okay, good.
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Great question. Now, who's next? Now's your chance. Let's really talk about, or any question that you may have about anything to do with coaching skills.
Hi, this is Natasha. I have a question.
Yes, Natasha, thank you.
At what moment, Dr. Jackie, did you get a sense, I kind of missed that part, did you get a sense that she needs to feel sad, but that helped her?
Yeah, I think that I didn't get the sense that she needs to feel sad. I heard, let me see where in the session, Natasha. There were three, you know, one of the things that's important when we're listening deeply and elegantly is to key in on the things that keep coming up because they're very important. And so there were a number of times when, Emma, may I speak about you as if you're not here?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And so Emra made several comments related to how she views using her life experience in a positive way. And she did that one too many times, meaning for me, when I heard it for the third time, it was like, okay. So, I said to myself, I wonder if there is equal regard and valuing for being sad, for being out of sorts, you know, for being sort of, you know, that's the sort of feeling. And so it was when I heard her attempt at reframing that stuff into the positive that it occurred to me that there might not be equal regard for the equal opposite human experience. And so then I started to construct questions that would invite that consideration.
Wow, that was a great insight.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice question, Tasha. Thank you.
Thank you.
And who'd like to go next?
Doctor, I noticed that you did not ask a lot of detailed questions about when the divorce happened or the specifics of that thing. Was that because of the amount of time, or in general, did you not think that that would be useful and productive in the coaching?
It's a great question. And tell me your name, please.
I'm sorry, this is Ruth.
Ruth, okay, hi, thank you. Good question. No, I'm not interested in the backstory. We call that the backstory. Emma's very well acquainted with her story and all of the details. And actually, they do not forward the coaching conversation in any way. So even though I'm very curious, and I would have loved all the details about her life, it would not have been helpful to her to have spent any of her time or energy telling me what she already knew. So I, by design, do not ask any questions about the backstory, and I don't need the backstory in order to coach.
If I can just add, if I can just add with what you just said, Dr. Jackie, that is absolutely right. That would have totally taken me off track from where you were taking me to my deep emotional inner place, which I can't access easily. That would have just become part of telling another story, and we just missed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome, and thank you for your feedback. So what are your thoughts about that, Ruth?
That is an impulse that I will certainly have to be really conscious of, because it's a part of being a compassionate friend usually. So realizing that it's not a part of being a helpful coach is initially, I want to say it's counterintuitive. It's not when you've explained it, but it's certainly taking away from my natural inclination. But I do understand why what you're saying. And of course, I'm already trying to think of, yes, but what about if you learned something and then you could ask a really good question? But I feel like that might be overthinking it, trying to get to the answer I want that I feel comfortable with.
And for me as a coach, it would have put me out of professional integrity, and I would have hijacked the agenda. Because if I had asked a lot of details or gotten details and then decided that one of those details was important to follow up, it's a total hijack. Versus listening for the coachable moment that unfolds organically, and then being very clear about constructing the powerful question that relates to the coachable moment in service of the client. Again, why are we asking questions? We are asking questions to impel deeper exploration. And so if I don't hear a coachable moment, and I'll talk about that more in a minute, then I don't have anything to say. I will really be interfering with the process.
Do you find that this is a common pitfall for new coaches, or not really?
Yes, oh no, absolutely. What you bring up is a very common, I don't know if I call it a pitfall, but I would call it, it's a common theme. And I'll go further, Ruth. I loved what you said about yourself, that there are people who actually hold a belief, new coaches who actually hold a belief, erroneous though it is, that they can't coach. They won't know what questions to ask if they don't have all the details of the story. And I vigorously challenge that false belief, because you'll waste a lot of time. You know, the minute we charge that credit card at the first of the month, we are in service of the client. And so every time we open our mouth, we have to be so conscious that we are in service of our clients, that we are delivering value. And so time is money. And every time we ask or engage a client in any way, we really want to think about being in service of the client. And if that client is talking about what they already know, if they're in their story, I am not doing my job.
So you're saying that you might even stop a client or discourage them from going down a certain path if you feel that it's too much detail and not in service, or do you let the client direct how much backstory you need?
Great question. I love your question. So let's be clear. The client can be in their story as much as they want. They can tell us minute detail. They can tell us. That's their purview. We don't go into the story. Our job is to help them to go deeper into their own knowing, wisdom, and vision. And as Emma said, if I'd asked her about her story, she wouldn't have been able to go to a place that is more difficult for her to get to by herself. So when we talk about story, that's how clients actually communicate with us. It's through their story. We communicate with clients by building powerful questions, related to coachable moments that entail deeper exploration for them in their own knowing, wisdom, and vision.
Thank you. That's what I'm going to think about.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so that makes sense to you, but you're going to process it. Thank you very much. And let me tell you something. If you're processing through that and you have any questions about that, that's true for anybody on this call. I am absolutely available. Dr. Jackie at CoachTrainingAlliance.com. You can always reach me. I'm very available. So if I'm saying anything and you're going to be thinking about it and processing and it causes you to have another question or something else emerges or bubbles up for you, please shoot me a quick email. Let's have a conversation about it.
That address again is Dr. Jackie at?
CoachTrainingAlliance.com. And it's DrJackie.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left. Who else has thoughts, questions, or feedback, please? I can now, and there was somebody behind you. So, So tell me again who's there?
Oh, this is Carol. Was there someone else speaking?
Yes, Carol, but hold on a second. And tell me who you are, sir.
This is Maltese.
Maltese, okay. So Carol and then Maltese, thank you. Yes, Carol, thanks.
Yes, I just wanted to comment. I appreciate the session. I thought it was very interesting, and I think it's very interesting how you came to the conclusion of just being in that area is okay. I think we always want to jump to everything like there's going to be a solution or there's going to be things to do, and I just think that was very refreshing. To come to a conclusion, and Amara did that on her own, just being, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very refreshing, and it's very interesting, not the outcome I thought it would be.
Mm. So what did you think, Cheryl?
Well, I wasn't sure. I thought it was very interesting when she started bringing it up. I think, oh, this is going to be interesting now. How are we going to come out of this, you know? And, yeah, it's she brought up a lot of good things. It's the time for reflection, for learning, for regrouping. I think those are all very good, interesting things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, thank you for that feedback. And Maltese, thank you. Your question, please.
Yes, it's more of a statement. I appreciated and enjoyed hearing at the time in which she began to tear up, how you asked her to breathe into it. And often, you know, we unconsciously resist or fight the tears when they occur. And by asking her to breathe into it, you allowed her to make it, to just experience that and just be okay with that. And I enjoyed the fact that we just waited for her to go through that process. And she indicated when she was ready to continue on. And if you listen to her tone, after which point, she was, she was not so much relieved, but she was, okay, let's keep going. I'm going somewhere here. So I think it's important that we pay attention when our clients do start to feel and express those tears. Just allow them to go there, but encourage them to do that, because it's all part of the growth process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good listening. I'm so glad that you brought that up. And so it wasn't, if I can just tweak what you said, it wasn't so much that I waited for her. What I was doing was vigorously holding the space for her deeper experience of herself. And it would have been a really terrible thing to have interrupted her process. Right, because she was inside herself. She was thinking, she was feeling, there was stuff going on. In fact, maybe if she left us, we'll ask her about that. Although I hear my clock and it's the top of the hour.
Yeah.
But holding the space for that process piece is critical, that we don't believe that there's anything that we have that's important enough to say or ask to interrupt that. Because remember, coaching is a seamless process. I'm really not here. I am facilitating someone else's movement through themselves. So I love that you commented on that. Thank you so much. Well, we got to the top of our hour, and I know I need to be very respectful and to let you all go. There's probably other now things that you're going to begin to do. And Ra, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to coach you today. It was really a privilege and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. My privilege. A wonderful experience. I can only encourage all of you to grab the moment if you can these next few days. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And thank you, everybody, for being here. It's really been great to be with you, and I hope that this has been a very valuable session for you. So take very good care, and I'll see you next time on the bridge. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.